Canva presents unexplained appearances. It was an ordinary workday until...
That presentation appeared out of thin air.
Also, it's eerily on brand.
Wait, did that agenda just write itself?
Words appear, making this unexplainable case...
Unexplainable? It's Canva's AI tools.
I can generate slides and words in seconds.
Really? The real mystery is why I'm only learning this now.
Canva.com. Designed for work.
Welcome to the Julia and Gino podcast, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from a family perspective. We are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey everyone, this is Julia Barbaro, host of the Julia and Gino podcast. I am here with the co-founder of Jake and Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
We've got a good podcast today, don't we?
I think so.
It's one of my favorite. We're not talking about our feelings today.
Oh, gosh.
No emotions.
This is going to be great for Gino.
No vulnerability. Yeah. No, I can talk about business a little bit today. Today's guest, we're excited to be interviewing Adi Klevit. Adi is the leader and visionary of Business Success Consulting Group, where she helps business owners achieve their dreams and bring order to their lives. Adi is also the host of Systems Simplified podcast, where she interviews top founders, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders on how to successfully systematize a business. That's a hard word, systematize a business. Welcome to the show, Adi.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you. So good to be here and so good to see both of you. And Julia was just a guest on my podcast, and we actually talked about happiness, how to create a happy and balanced life. And we actually made it into a system. Like, what system do you actually need to have in place to have a happy and balanced life?
So there See, my, you go. My wife didn't tell me that at all. She didn't say about any systems for happiness. She just said a little homeschooling. So what was the system? Yeah. Talk to me about that system.
Gino, I'm sure you will agree with me that everything in life is a system. When you wake up in the morning and, you know, you have your routine, it's kind of some kind of a process or a system. So I think the challenge is to recognize what the systems are so you can actually duplicate it and replicate it. So Julia and I had a whole discussion, and I'm going to send you a link to the podcast so you can listen to your own wife and what she says. And she explains there how you can actually systematize a family, being, you know, like the what do you need to do in order to make sure that everything is balanced and in place, and you know, it's like, it's very interesting. So I recommend you listen to that.
So Adi, how do you get somebody who doesn't even know what a system is? It's not an exciting word. It's not a sexy word. How do you get somebody bought in? Because the first thing of any of being successful, of creating a system, is to have a buy-in, whether it's an employee, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a child, they have to be bought into the word system and make them understand it. How do you get buy-in from people?
Yeah, I 100% agree. It's the first of all, you have to have a buy-in. The way that I do that is I basically find out what is in it for them. You know, it's kind of like everything in life, it's sell or be sold, right? You have to sell things or you're being sold on something. So you have to sell somebody on having a process. Well, let them sell it to you why they need it. So let's find out what is your why. So we talked about family, right? So maybe there is a system of cleaning the room for the kid, right? Well, what is it in it for them? Like, the question I like to ask, what would happen to your life if you had well-documented processes and procedures or processes that you can follow? So you find out what is it right now that is non-optimum. So maybe for a kid, you know, it takes me a long time to clean my room, or, you know, I'm rather be playing outside and play than cleaning my room or whatever it is. Okay, well, how about if I show you a faster way to do it? Would you like that? Like, if I can save you actually 30 minutes in cleaning your room, or, you know, maybe I can show you how to do it within X amount of minutes and then you're always done and mom would always be happy with you. You know, would you like to see? Oh yeah, okay, good. And then I walk them through it, how using systems and processes will help them achieve that goal. And then I have buy-in.
I love that, because you're using it's in your podcast. You're simplifying something right now, and you're making it so easy for us to understand it. Because when you're talking to a child, it's the same as, in a sense, you're talking to a company. Hey, do you want to have an easier way of doing this? And so, how do you talk with, you know, an entrepreneur or someone out there who is trying to do a business and they're a little unorganized and they're in need of systems? Tell me how you would sell them.
Well, I always ask why, right? Mm-hmm. I always why processes, and they have to sell me like why they want me to come and document their processes and procedures. Ask why. Because if there is no compelling reasons, then I say you're not ready for it. Just don't do it. Just continue doing what you're doing. If you're not convinced, then it's not right now, not the right time. But you know, the whys are usually okay, because we want to train employees better, or I'm about to hire five different new employees and I don't have the time to train them, or I had such employee turnover because I wasn't able to train them and show them how to do things. Or my business grew so much that everyone is doing it a different way. So I definitely want to make sure that there is consistency. So it really depends, you know, really it's the same thing of explaining why, and it's the same question. Mm-hmm. What would happen, or what are the benefits? So, and basically what would happen if you had well-documented processes and procedures? How would your life be different because of that?
Mm-hmm. I'm a small mom and pop entrepreneur right now. I'm out there. I'm doing everything myself. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I take out the garbage. I answer my emails. How do I start? What is the first step that I need to do to start? First of all, let's even identify or try to define what a system is. But how do I start with creating systems and processes?
So the question that I ask in order to know where to start, because that's a number one question. That's like, you know, it's like, where do I start? Mm-hmm. So the question to ask is like, what area of your blank, so business, family, activities. So what area of your business, if you had well-documented processes and procedures, will get you the biggest return on investment? And we have to define return on investment beforehand. Like what areas, like right now, maybe you tell me beforehand that, you know, you don't have enough time to spend with your family, or the business is not profitable, or you are burnt out, or you work by working 80 hours a week, whatever, and you want to work less, right? You want to take 2 weeks of vacation. You have vacation planned out and you want to take that vacation without being interrupted. So ask yourself, what area of your business, if you had well-documented processes and procedures, will get you the biggest return on investment? And that is the area that you should start with.
What holds people back from even trying to create processes and systems?
You know, it's know-how. They think they don't have the time, but it's always, in my opinion, it's the lack of understanding that organization can get you to the next step. It really is, production always will come first, right? I want to go and get my next customer, my next sale, my next this, my next that. And it's easier. And they have also the misconception that it's easier for them to do it themselves, right? It'll take me 5 minutes to do it than to explain to someone, right? I mean, you know, Gino, I know you love processes. So from your perspective, like, what do you think, like, as an entrepreneur? I'm just curious to hear do you agree that it's basically like feeling that, you know, if it's faster to do it, it doesn't seem very efficient to actually stop what you are doing in order to actually start organizing? And where would I find the time to do it?
I would say that's one of the challenges that people have. It's they want to control everything and they think mm-hmm. that they can do it better, but they don't understand that those routines or tasks that they're doing that aren't generating revenue, that they can hire somebody like bookkeeping. Instead of doing bookkeeping, try to create a process and start by shooting some videos, start by creating a Google Doc on mm-hmm. how you actually do your bookkeeping entries, how you have reconciliation at the end of the month, and then hire a bookkeeper to help you with that, train them, document that whole process, and then all of a sudden bookkeeping is gone. Then the next system or process would be maybe a customer service person, having somebody help you with customer service. You know what's in your head. The idea is to pull everything out of your head and to put it onto a piece of paper, and then to shoot some Loom videos if that's what you're really good at doing, videos, or putting it out on a Google Doc, a spreadsheet, and document that process. It's going to take a lot of time. And what I would do for everybody out there, start. This is the end of the quarter recording. Start quarter four. Say I have 3 or 4 big systems that I want to work on, and that's 13 weeks. So you have 13 weeks in the quarter to work on a couple of systems, and you're not going to do your whole business in 6 months. It may take you a couple of years, but 2 years goes by so quickly. And at the end of the 2 years, as you're growing your business, you're going to be able to add on new systems and new employees, and systems never end. They just revolutionize and they just take a life of their own, and they're never really 100% complete. They continue to grow. And what's great about it, you continue to add to them. And as you grow, you'll learn more, and then you'll start taking yourself out, and all of a sudden your employees will be motivated to start creating systems. So you have other people on your team creating systems, not just yourself.
You know, can I just say,
you can say anything, baby.
I got to say this because I watched this happen. And one of the biggest challenges, and I know many people, like, and me included at home, but I noticed this at Gino's company, is that for him to let go of that control in the beginning was the biggest challenge.
So painful.
It was, I mean,
I don't
want to
let go of my wife. It was hard.
He was all about, I'm going to do it. I can do it better. I can do it faster. I know what I'm doing. And it's all in his head, not in his head, meaning he knew how to do it, but he didn't have it written.
So let me give some context. The reason why I was
I have to finish because it's really important.
Okay.
But once you did let go of that and realize that you don't have to do it all, and if you give up those tasks of, especially of having someone else organize and someone else help you and hand it over, that's when your company grew.
So Adi, let me give some context. The reason why I was like that for so many years, I had a restaurant for 20 years. My father was an immigrant. And in Italian, there's a saying, l'occhio del padrone ingrassa il cavallo, which means the eye of the owner fattens the horse, which ultimately means the owner needs to be there 24/7 working. Now, that worked in the 1960s, 1970s, 1980s. You could have a small little business. You could be a mom and pop. You can make a very great living. And we did. But then when the 90s hit and the 2000s hit, everything starts to change. And my mentality was, I need to be there. I need to be washing the dishes. I need to be answering the phones. I need to be doing the orders. I need to be doing the catering orders. I need to be working on Saturdays. Then when I started in real estate, we bought over 1,500 apartment units in 5 years. What changed? One restaurant in 20 plus years, 1,500 apartment units in 5 years. It was the ability to scale my company, the ability to let go, the ability to hire better talent, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm able to hire better quality people. I am a better leader. I'm choosing my vision. I am actually sharing my vision with others, being a visionary, but also being the integrator as well. And as I'm integrating, I am not outgrowing my infrastructure because I'm not going for size. I'm going for the ability to grow intelligently. Really, revenue is vanity. Profit margin is sanity. Cash is king. That's what I live by. I don't care how much I'm making. I care about how much I'm keeping. So you have to stay within your infrastructure, grow wisely. We're looking for 20% top line growth. And as you continue to grow, you bring people on board, and you know, it's a 50-50 crapshot. Even with net promoter scores, even with top grading, even with great interviewing, you're still going to miss a lot of the times. But when you have that culture fit and you have those core values, you'll be able to scale up and grow. And it's a process, everybody. It's a journey for every single one of us. But let me let you know, and let everybody know here, that I took a trip to Italy for 2 weeks this August, barely on the phone. That never happened in my life ever. I actually had faith in my people, and we actually generated a ton of revenue when I wasn't there. So the proof is in the pudding. You're looking at the proof. I mean, and it's hard for everybody out there, but that's what you want to do to become an entrepreneur. You know, to me, it's not working less. It's creating more impact and doing things that I love to do. That's what systems has allowed me to do, to really gravitate towards what Jake and Gino, the value of that company, needs from me. And it's not answering emails. It's creating content, writing books, teaching courses, getting on podcasts. That's the value that I derive, the pleasure that I derive. And the systems that you talk about is what has allowed me to do more of that. Does that make sense?
No, it does completely. And you know, Gino, it also increases the value of your company, because the value of the company increases when it's not depending on the owner, because otherwise you can never sell, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, and I started this company in 2011, and I started basically I was more of a generalist in terms of like helping clients with different aspects of the business. And what I realized is I would tell them, okay, you need to create your processes. And we come a week later and nothing got created. A week later, nothing got created, right? From the same reasons that you asked me of why it's not being created. Or as you explain, okay, it's a long process, can take 2 years, etc. But I go, okay, what entrepreneurs really need, and that it's not being done, is those processes and procedures. Mm-hmm. So we developed our own process on how to extract the knowledge and how to do the knowledge transfer. So it can be done within a few months. Boom, you have the entire processes of the company documented. But as you said, it's an ongoing process. So you have it documented, but you can't stop there. You have to maintain them current, because it's enough that one of them goes you know, outdated, it becomes outdated, then you start questioning the rest, right? So it's a matter of, okay, now you have the base, but now you have to continue to keep them current all the time.
You know, it's funny because you said something that was interesting. And a lot of you say, you know, you're asking a company to get everything together. And a lot of times it reminds me, it's when you guys talk business, it reminds me of just home life and family life. When I ask one of the kids to clean up and they have no idea what that means. And so it's that step by step, like you were talking about earlier. How do I do it? I don't know. I need someone to literally, some people really do need that. It has nothing to do with intelligence. They just need a step by step. Show me how. And I think that's what you're talking about, which is
absolutely,
we really do need. We need someone sometimes to hold our hand and guide us through it. Because we're busy running a company or trying to do whatever we're doing, and we need that help. And it's okay to get that help. And it really does benefit, because I've seen it. And so just encourage people listening. If you do have a company, you know, contact Adee, because obviously she knows what she's doing.
So let me ask you, Adee, how does it work with families? I mean, what are families? This is supposed to be a family show, a spousal show.
Sometimes
I get lost in business and real estate.
Okay, on this one, I think like if the business is in good order and you can take 2 weeks off to go to Italy, that helps the family tremendously. So that's what we are doing, right?
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, but I think, I mean, to answer your question on the family and also, Julia, what you mentioned, it's, you know, people go, oh, wow, now we're going to have checklists for everything. That's sick. You know, I don't, not sick in a good way, but it's kind of like, how can we live our lives that way? And my answer to that will be like, how does it apply to a family? It really applies to the degree that you need it, right? If you're fine the way you're operating, that's great, right? But if you are not and you want to improve something or you want to make it better, then let's look if making it a little bit more systematized, but not in a, you know, I don't like the pendulum swinging either way. Like you have to be somewhere in the middle. So if we have a way, let's say cleaning the room, cleaning the house. Okay. I work with several of my clients were cleaning janitorial and cleaning house cleaning companies. You know, we create a checklist for them to train their employees on how to clean bathrooms, how to clean the living room, how to clean this, how to clean that, how to do this, you know, how to leave the house, how to enter the house, etc. Why can you just create it also for the family? Mm-hmm. It just goes faster. So every, let's say we clean the house every Saturday morning. Good. So this kid is in charge of that. This kid is in charge of that. You know, mommy's in charge of that. Dad is in charge of that. We start this time, we end at this time, and we get it done. So you get it done, let's say by 10 o'clock in the morning, as opposed to the whole day goes by and then there is arguments, etc. So it's up to you to decide what the system is for and what level of systems do you need in order to create the outcome that you want.
To validate what you're saying, most people think it's torturous, it's strenuous. You're not really living life vicariously. And I would challenge people by saying, when you have discipline, when you know you have to brush your teeth at 9 o'clock, when you know you have to do something at 10, it gives you freedom throughout the day to know that those tasks are in your mind. They're done. You need to do them and you have free time to do whatever else you need. I plan my days accordingly. I know what times I have. I have times blocked off. I know I need to do certain tasks throughout the day. My partner plans his whole week on Sunday, makes sure that everything gets done. It gives him freedom to think of, oh, this is my next thing. This is my next thing. And that's what I think systems allows you to do, is to have that freedom and to know what needs to get done, what's important in your life. And if you don't have a system and you're flying by the seat of your pants, which is probably about 90% of the US population, that's why only 5 or 6% of them are financially free by the time they retire, because they don't have their life systematized. And it doesn't have to sound drudgery or a lot of hard work, because once you have it set, you just follow it. So like you said, I love that. Saturday morning, we clean the house. There's three of us. We get it done in an hour. Then we have the rest of Saturday to do whatever we want. Instead of thinking, well, should I clean the house today? I'm not sure. Saturday at 7 o'clock at night, you're sitting on the couch and saying, I should have cleaned the house today. That is freedom to be able to know what you have to do.
No, I agree with you, because, you know, we in our little world of family and homeschool, if I don't have some kind of structure, it's literally chaos.
You're telling
me.
Woo.
It's the kids. I'm like, did you do math? Oh, was I supposed to do that today? Yes. Oh, okay. And so we do have to have some kind of structure. And as the parents, it's really, we have to remember this. We are truly their example. If we're living just day to day, just forgetting things, we forgot to do that. I didn't realize it was Tuesday. You know, I do get like that, but for the most part, I'm very organized. The kids are learning from us. Other people are learning from us. And so if they see, you know, my husband is very successful in everything he does because he's very structured, because he's very organized. And I think that's something to remember. It's not just because he's lucky. You know, people that are successful, some of them are lucky, some of them, you know, are born into money, but most of them are work their butt off to get there. And there's a reason why people are successful, whether it's a mother or a business owner. And there's always a reason. And I think what you're saying too, I agree with you, is those systems that have to be in place. Otherwise, you're just, you know, running on forgetfulness. And go ahead.
Ani, how do you pull, you said that you have like a system of being able to pull it out of somebody's mind or out of their thought process. How does that work? Like, if you could give me an example.
Sure. Okay. So first of all, you have to identify, you know, what is it that we are going to document, right? What system are we talking about? So we talked about that question that we ask in terms of like what area in your life or business or whatever, that if you had well-documented systems, you will get the biggest return on investment, and you identify what return on investment is. So let's say you say, let's say in a business, you say, okay, my sales process. Okay, good. So what does the sales process consist of? Where do you start? Where do you end? What's the end result? We identify that. And when we go, okay, what are the major steps that you get, that you have to have in place in order to actually get from point A to point B? And we identify those. So in sales, it's usually, you know, getting the lead, qualifying the lead, create some kind of, you know, either an estimate or an inspection, depends on the business or whatever you need in order to figure out what are you going to sell that person or offer that person. Then you're going to have a proposal and present a proposal. You're going to close it, and then you're going to onboard a person, right? So that's usually the biggest, the bigger process in terms of the sales process. So then we take each one of those aspects and we figure out who is responsible for it. Or who is the best at doing it? Who would you like to clone? You know, it might be yourself. It might be one of your key employees, right? Or your wife.
I love that part. I just have to cut you off for a second because I love that, because a lot of people are afraid to take on a role because they don't want to hurt someone else's feelings. So if we get an outside person to say, hey, you're really good at this, I want you to do it. I love that. I'm sorry. I just had to, cut you off and say that, because that's very
okay. So you do. Okay. So we figure out who is going to be, and that is a great point, Julia, because a lot of people think that they need to do it themselves, but they have a team of people that is already doing it. So we utilize the team. You don't have to do it yourself. I mean, if you're a solopreneur, yes, it might, you know, everything is in your head and then we start the systems, create it. But if you already grew your business and you have employees that are working for you, there is somebody that knows how to do it. For instance, an example, I was talking to a client this morning and I asked her, who would you like to document this part? Because who is the expert? She told me that person is the expert. Great. And ask her, do you want to be on the call? She goes, no, you document it. And then I will look at it and then I can add to it. But that was the right response, because she delegated, we're going to do it. Then she can see it in writing and decide whether yes or no. So then we identify who is going to be responsible for the documentation. And then I basically have them tell me how they do it. Right. So I record it. We do our consultations or our sessions virtually, so we can record it like we're recording right now on Zoom. And you said, you know, utilize Loom videos. Absolutely. So Loom, you know, it's a software that you can record your screen. So I sometimes give them assignments to, like, let's say we identify, okay, during the qualification of the lead, you know, they fill this one, this checklist, or they look at that, or they do that. I go, okay, record it and send it to me. Or I record it, they show it to me and I record it. And I ask a lot of questions. So that is basically, you would say, my expertise and my team, because we created the process on how to do it, is to ask those questions. You have to be inquisitive. You have to ask questions. You have to ask a lot of why. Why is it being done that way, right? When you do this, why are you doing it? What outcome are you trying to get? Because that will also lead us to process improvement and see where can we improve, where we can automate, where we can do things better. So what are the best practices? Do you always do it? Are there any exceptions? What are the things, tell me about when this process actually failed, because I want to know about the failures as well, so we know what to anticipate and what we need to document so it doesn't fail, right? So it's a different, basically looking at it from all directions to extract that knowledge. Then we document it. We also use videos. And then we use it, we take it, let's say we are documenting it in a company that has 5 estimators. We got 1 estimator, we extracted that procedure out of them. And then we're going to take it to the rest of the 5 estimators and say, follow the process and see if you can actually get to the same result. Is there a way that you do it differently? Is there something we need to fix or change? And that way we get the feedback and we create one final product from everyone.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, in a business, certain areas, customer service, sales, marketing, I've written down. I think fulfillment is a big one also, accounting. Do you have any other areas where entrepreneurs should be trying to think of creating systems in a business?
Well, we need HR, right?
We need to have the HR.
Business development, you know, so anything that, I mean, you said marketing, but I like to separate it, like, you know, what is marketing? What is business development, right? Fulfillment is very important. Customer service, you said. Any production, you know, fulfillment, production, so it depends on what they do. And leadership, you know, we didn't cover leadership. I mean, I think the management and leadership is very important. So how do you run your meetings? You know, what? How often do you do morning huddles? Do you do a weekly meeting? How do you evaluate your employees? And then HR can be separated into the hiring process, the onboarding process, the employee management. So those areas are important.
Let me repeat that for everybody. That's really, really important. First one I would say is customer service. You know, we just hired a director of customer experience for our company, small company. We have about maybe 20 employees for Jake and Gino, but some of them are part-time coaches. But I wanted that director of customer experience there to really onboard students, answer any questions. Sales is important. We have the sales process. We have a setter closer model. So we follow that model. Marketing, we just hired a chief marketing officer to head that, working on our campaigns. Fulfillment is truly important. That's another aspect that Adi talked about. Accounting, I would say the accounting processes as far as bookkeeping.
Yeah, finance, accounting.
Finance,
yeah.
Very good. Thank you. HR is important. HR is probably one of the last systems you're going to build as an organization because you're not going to have enough employees. That's something as you start scaling between 10, 15, 20 employees, then there's health insurance. You said business development. That's truly, truly important. The production aspect of it, and the leadership aspect of it. Leadership is very, very important because as the leader, you need to set the vision and you need to set core values and culture. And when you talked about leadership, we call it the cadence of accountability. Like you said, the cadence is, are you having quarterly plannings? We have a quarterly planning this Friday. Every quarter we get together. Are you having, you know, yearly meetings with your team as far as having retreats? Are you having, like you said, the daily huddles? Are you having your, what we call in traction, level 10 meetings once a week? Those are really, really important. As a solopreneur, when you're starting out, this may not be vital, but we want you to think of, you're not going to be that one person organization. You want to grow into something. The person you start out with 3 or 4 years from now is not going to be that person. So starting out with these systems, which one? I mean, to me, I think sales and marketing are probably the most important when you're first starting out as a solopreneur or a person just getting the business off the ground. What would you think in your estimation are the most important?
You know, it's really, that's again, the question is like, what area of your business, if you had well-documented processes and procedures, will get you the biggest return on investment?
Okay.
Because it varies from company to company, depends on the cycle. You know, usually when they get started, they say, you know, forget about processes right now. You're going to develop your own processes. You know, you're not going to spend time documenting. Yes, work on sales and marketing, because you're right, that's the most important, but not necessarily something you're going to document. Just go and market, you know, figure out how you're going to get more customers, clients, patients, whatever your industry is, right? Mm-hmm. Once you have that, and now you're ready, you're fast growing, but you are lacking consistency, then let's figure out who is you going to be your first employee. Is it going to be a chief of staff? Is it going to be your COO? It's going to be, you know, your next estimator, whatever it is, then start documenting that, because then you will be able to take it off your plate and give it to them. Maybe you're going to hire an executive assistant, then will become a chief of staff. Document what they need to be doing, right? And then empower them to continue to document. It doesn't mean that you have to do everything. You can start a documentation and then you empower others to do it, so then they can grow as well, and then you create that culture of documentation and that culture of processes that people know that there is a structure.
And if you're struggling out there and you don't know where to start, Adi's got a great process. What I love about it, she's asking empowering questions. It's not what systems she wants. It's what systems you need. What's the biggest ROI and how you're going to get the best bang for your buck? She could tell you, hey, you should start with sales. But if you don't think sales is appropriate, she's going to ask you, where are you struggling? What do you need work? And that's why it's important to work with a professional. We worked with a company called Scaling Up, Vern Harnish's company, a few years back. And we had no core values. We had no mission statement. We were starting from ground zero on that. And it took a couple of years. But that is an investment. People look at that as an expense. I want everyone to really shift their mindset and think of, I'm not expensing this. I'm investing in myself. And all of a sudden your brain says, oh, it's not costing me something. I'm getting an ROI on this. Because once you learn how to do this one time, all of a sudden, the next time you start growing your company, Adi doesn't have to be there anymore asking these questions. You've already gotten a lot of value from her and you can start doing it yourself, but you need that initial investment in yourself to continue on.
Adi, tell me what the feedback has been with the people that you've worked with, you know, their reactions, what they've found as far as saving time, just because we all know that when things go well, obviously we can be more successful. We can get more done, but we can be more creative. We can learn new things. We could do more. So tell me what the feedback has been.
So the feedback is all the way from, now I started my next company or I was able to sell my company for a bigger price to I like to grow the company and scale and hire new employees, taking a vacation without having to be interrupted, being able to spend time with the family. So it really depends on what the person wanted, what's important for them. But I think the common denominator, it's always order. There is more order coming in, more predictability, and an ability to fulfill your goals and what you really want to achieve. It's going from being reactive to being proactive and more in control over your life, your business, etc.
So this is important. I need to say this. This is the family show. This is a spousal relationship. I mean, even create a system to have a weekly dinner with your wife. You go out once a week. I mean, even with your children, if you're working in an I used to work the restaurant, if you're working late at night, have breakfast in the morning, set that up. Don't let the day go by or the week go by and not have that. So I think, like you said, you can fit this in every aspect of your life. We're just focusing on business right now.
Because... this is a great conversation.
Because I'll give you an example on that in terms of, like, I had a client that, you know, her goal, she was a mom, but she was also a business owner and she was in the food industry. So I guess there's all this pressure of being there all the time, etc. And she said, you know what, Adi, my goal is that on Tuesday, I want to pick up the kids from school and spend the entire afternoon with them. That was her goal. And I think if to that point, it's very important to set up your success, right? What is the goal for you? Yes, we all want like everything perfect and, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's like organized and under control, but let's have the little wins, right? I mean, what is the next step? So if your life is at this point right here, but what's you want to start with, like, okay, on Tuesdays, I want to spend time with my kids. And, you know, and I work with her on it and we accomplished that. So she was actually able to do that. And then we work on the next one and the next one. So maybe somebody will look at it and say, well, this is really like a small accomplishment, but it's not. Mm-hmm. It's like the smaller wins and more wins and more wins, right? So that's why my advice would be not to go all crazy and now we're going to be all this perfection of everything is going to work according to the plan. We're going to have systems for everything and it's all going to work. No, just let's have, what is your win? What will be a win for you for the next quarter, for the next 6 months, for the next month, for the next day, and let's work on achieving that and go to the next one and the next one.
I had a mentor say to me, there's someone on a podcast said, dictate, delegate, and disappear. That's sort of what you're doing, although most entrepreneurs don't want to disappear. You still have to manage the process, manage the system, make sure it's not broken, hire the employees out. But that's practically what you're doing. You're dictating what you want to do. Then you want to start delegating it out to people that you hire. And then obviously that's not your task anymore. It's someone's task. It's always setting expectations and having somebody held accountable for that system or the process. I think that's the important aspect as well. Adi, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
I mean, the best thing is to email me, to go to our website, which is bizsuccesscg.com. So it's B-I-Z success spelled out CG for consulting group. So bizsuccesscg.com. They can email me adi@bizsuccesscg.com. They can look me up in LinkedIn. So it's Adi, A-D-I, and last name is Klevit, K-L-E-V-I-T. They can look the System Simplified podcast. I think there are a lot of ways to find me. So
excellent. I'm going to have that all in the show notes. I'm going to have the website in the show notes. We have your name so people can connect on LinkedIn. And for me, what you're doing is great work because there's not a lot of people out there teaching systems, not a lot of people out there, you know, showing people how they can grow their companies. And really, it's all about how to scale for what that person is trying to accomplish. We all have different goals in life. Somebody wants to become the next Facebook. Somebody may just want to have work 30 or 40 hours a week and have a great life and make X amount of money per month. So really, you know, going to Adi and having a clear vision of what you want, mm-hmm. she can absolutely help you out by creating those systems.
Yeah, no, Adi, you had mentioned the word order, which I love, because it, when I think of order, and I know a lot of people are out there, you know, we have a lot of kids, we have a lot of things going on throughout the day. When there's order, everyone is more calm, they're more efficient, things get done. And so I really appreciate this conversation.
Dinner gets made on dinner time, gets baby. Done. That's right. Yeah. And the laundry gets
done.
Hey,
dinner
like
was
that.
Always ready. Sometimes it's 8:30. Sometimes it's 8:30. That's been the latest, but it's always there. Yeah.
But, you know, I want to add to it that it's kind of like life, it does not become boring, right? I mean, no. After you have order, because you always take on more. So exactly. I think that is something that people are afraid of in mm-hmm. terms of like, okay, if I'm going to organize or put too much order, my life is going to be boring. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It's really taking it to the next level, right? Exactly. It's kind of like, hey, what's next?
Well, that's where you become creative, because all of a sudden you've just freed up a lot of your time. Your mind is not cluttered and disorderly. It's very clear. So now you have new ideas.
So Adi, we have something to do after this podcast. Oh, we're going to set up some systems together, me and my wife. And we're going to get back to you. Listen, we want to thank you for being a great guest on the show. And once again, everybody, go check out Adi's website. And if you're there, you're stuck, you're the solopreneur, or you've got 30 people and you want to scale, you know, reach out to her and see how you can work together.
Definitely check out Art. We were on a podcast together and on your podcast. It was so wonderful. So thank you again for having me on. I really appreciated it. Excellent name.
You're very welcome. And thank you for being a guest on my podcast. And thank you for having me as a guest on this podcast. You guys are wonderful and setting such a great example.
Thank you.
Take care.
From pit lane to podium, the Las Vegas Grand Prix is providing fans a race day experience at the speed they deserve. With the help of T-Mobile for Business, our 5G advanced network solutions are powering race day operations with event-wide connectivity. From streamlined gate entry to an immersive app, giving fans blazing fast access to the sport they love. This is accelerating innovation. This is the Las Vegas Grand Prix with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.